All right, I am with Onke. Welcome, Onke.
Ah, thank you so much, man, for having me.
Good. For those who, I don't know if I should disclose how I got you, but maybe we should tell a story that we can just.
That's fine. You can tell them.
Yeah, I think maybe I just slot it in somewhere. Okay. I'll find a way we can put it in. Maybe just introduce yourself. What do you do? And then we can just get into the gist of it.
Okay. My name is Onke, originally born in Eastern Cape, but I stay in Cape Town now for work purposes, of course. And by profession, I'm a banker. Unfortunately, I'm not going to disclose the institution which I work for. I've been to Cape Town. I've been in Cape Town for the past, I'll say, 5 to 6 years now. So, yeah, that's me.
Awesome. I think this is where I slot in the story. So, doing podcasts, right? It's something like you kind of like have to find, like, there's so many, you can exhaust your circle in a
true,
sense.
True,
so I have to kind of like grab some few people. So I found him working, and I was like, no, man, can you please become and be a guest, and we can just share about what you do and how to get into that space, right? Mm-hmm. So to make this become more of a chronological podcast, we can start to where did the love for banking or start, or was it something which was like a fluke when you're just looking around and you're like, okay, and I think I like this, and then I'll just go for it? So where did you start?
You know, man, it's life. You know, when you grow up, you've got dreams of becoming something else, and then life just takes you to another turn or another direction. Because when I start my first qualification, in fact, in PE, I was doing an IT qualification, which I passed. I'm a qualified programmer, but unfortunately, I never got the chance to practice. And then after finishing my qualification, then I came to Cape Town. So when I got to Cape Town, obviously, like everyone else, I was looking for a job. And I think I was unemployed for almost 3 to 4 months. And in my search for employment, and then I heard about this agency. It's called Quest. I don't know if it's still existing. They're based in town, in Cape Town. So I submitted my CV there, and for quite a number of times, because every time when I go to town, then I'll just go and drop my CV. Never got tired. Then up until eventually they decided to call me for an interview. Then I went. Then I was told that they found a job for me at one of the institutions, financial institutions. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then did the interview. It was 3 interviews, in fact, before I was selected. We were like, I would say plus minus 30 people in that interview from all over the provinces, from different institutions and stuff like that. But I was one of the fortunate ones. Then I got the job, and then that's how banking started for me. But to answer your question, I never really thought that one day I would work for the bank, even though I studied commerce at college.
Sure.
At high school, I mean. But I never really thought that one day I would be a banker or work for the bank.
Sure.
Because, you know, growing up, we all know that, you know, banks, working for a bank, it's dangerous and stuff like that.
Yeah, heists and all the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but then when I got in to this job, and then I just fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, in fact, because we meet different people, different conversations every day, different problems. You hear things that you never thought that they are happening to people, and you know, you give recommendations to people about their financial status and all of that. It's interesting. I'm enjoying it, I'm not gonna lie.
So most of the time when I hear someone telling a story, right, I end up having so many questions, but for the sake of the conversation, is before you went for banking, what is it that you wanted to do? You said you did IT, right?
Yes, IT.
So the process of you looking for a job, how hard was it? Was it just the 3 months where you looked for a job, or was it longer? And how hard was it at the time?
It was just for 3 months, mm-hmm. and I was so fortunate that when I finished my studies in PE,
yeah.
my sister was already living in Cape Town with her husband that time. And she was like, because, you know, when you finish school and then you don't know what's going to happen, because now reality starts kicking in that you need to find a job and you need to, you know, earn those bucks.
Sure.
Then my sister was like, you know what, you're not going to go to Eastern Cape. You're going to come to Cape Town and stay with me.
Mm.
Then I came to Cape Town. And when I got here, you know, I was under pressure because I needed money and my graduation in PE was approaching. So I wanted to attend my graduation, like having money, having enough cash so that I can do whatever that I want to do there.
Yeah.
So I think the second month when I was here, then I started to like feeling that frustration of being unemployed and all of that. I even wanted to relocate to Durban at some point. Then my sister was like, ah, you know what? You're not going to go to Durban up until I say that I am fed up or I don't want to stay with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, okay, cool. And in my search for the job that time, I think I got an offer. It was in PAL. I didn't even know PAL that time. And then my sister was like, you know what? It's so fine, PAL.
It's fire.
You're going to travel with a train and you've never used a train before. So just leave it. It's not for you. I'm not going to lie. I was so heartbroken because the company really believed in me, even though I didn't have any experience, because they said it was an outsourced position. I think it was for help desk or something like that in the IT space. And then they wanted me to come early so that they can give me a brief
training,
so that
yeah,
when
sure.
the panel for the interview comes, at least I am prepared.
Mm.
So I missed out on that.
So that was like favor on your end.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So my sister was like, you know what? No. You're not going there because it's going to have to now rent and all of that. I don't want you to struggle. You're still new and young. I was young at that time.
I think you have 19. A very good sister, yeah.
Yes, I was 19.
Yeah.
So just like, no. You're going to stay with me. So I stayed with her. Then 3 months down the line, then I got the job. So I would say it was not that difficult because since I had some sort of a support structure, you know, family member that believed in me.
Mm.
And yeah, after 3 months, then I was sorted.
I think that's very beautiful. How important was that relationship with you and your sister?
Very, very important.
Yeah.
That's something I don't even take for granted. I'm not going to lie. You know, as siblings, we fight, we disagree a lot and all of that. But this, you know, that moment we shared, you know, that space I was in at my life and she was there for me, that's something like I'm so grateful for. And even if we disagree on so many things, but like at the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what, this person really came true for me when I least expected it, because she didn't have to. But she decided, you know what, I'm going to make sure that you are sorted, because she could see that my future was bright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's beautiful, man, when you have your day ones and you know that most of the time it's not coming from a place of malice. It's coming from a place of pure love.
True, yes.
That's sibling love. And I mean, some of us are fortunate to have that good relationship with our siblings, because out there, you hear
it's
all
tough.
Sorts of stories.
It's
yeah.
tough, it's tough.
So when you have it, you kind of like have to appreciate it as well. So getting into, you get this in these 3 months, and then you finally get your job, mm-hmm. right? As a, you said that there was a, what do you call this? An agent.
Yes.
Right? There was
yes.
an agent was helping you trying to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get there, do you get there and just start working, or you have to kind of like learn how to understand the banking systems and all those stuff?
Okay, at that time we were so fortunate because it was before the COVID thing happened, so
sure.
we're still doing the face-to-face interaction. So after the interview, then they will take you for a training for like a month or two, and you meet different people as well, like all the new people that are joining the organization would meet there in one space. We share the knowledge, we learn from the facilitators that are taking us through the process. And we're taught so many things like the system, you know, how to interact with clients as well, you know, how to have that what matters conversation so that we can understand what the client needs. Because sometimes the client will come, say this, only to find out they want this, not that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to divulge in that, and then we can get a better understanding
mm-hmm.
and be able to actually solve the matter or whatever that the client comes to you with. So we went there and we got the training, And then after that, then we're thrown into the deep now to actually practice what you've learned.
Sure. And then how was that training like? Was it something which was like hectic stuff, or it was like a pretty much standard, anyone can like do it?
For me, it was standard. I'm not going to lie. There was nothing really hectic. It was really standard. And we had a chance to ask. If you don't understand, you ask. And then they tell you, you know, they... No one was, like, information was there. If you need anything, and all the resources were there. So it, for me, it was just standard. Mm. Nothing really hectic.
And then in terms of qualification for that, right? What qualifications do you need to qualify to get into that room?
Back in the days, in my time, yeah. Now I say back in the days as if I'm 40. Back in the days, it was not that difficult to get into that, to tap into that industry, which is the banking industry. But now I feel like things have changed. We're evolving now, and you know, people are starting further and all of that. But when I started, even though I had that qualification, the IT qualification that I had at that time, it didn't really count that much. And they only focused on the fact that I had matriculated and I had my Malusi certificate. But however, like, I'm a dreamer by nature. And then I believe that, fine, I was accepted and then I was happy. But I was like, you know what? If anything happens and probably the company decide to retrench one day and all of that, I'd be the first person to be kicked out because I didn't have anything backing me in that space or in that field.
Yeah.
So hence I felt like, you know what, let me do something related to finance and all of that. Then within a year or 6 months, and then I just enrolled myself for a higher certificate in banking. Then I secured my space now. So like I was like, okay, you know what, even if anything happens, at least I am safe because I have something to produce and say, okay, this is what I have after matric. But now, things have changed, so they can't just take you with the matric, of course, because there are kids that have got degrees, honors, and stuff like that. Yes, your qualification still counts, but it has to be in line with the finance industry. Yes.
Okay. You said earlier on, you said you fell in love with banking. What made you fall in love with banking?
I love people, and I love to interact with people.
Sure.
So, and I think... My job gave me that, because once in a while my mother thought I was going to be a social worker of some sort.
Okay.
But that never happened. But then when I joined the banking industry, then I felt like, oh, you know what, it's more or less the same.
Even it's very close. Yeah,
because yeah. I'm still dealing with people, I'm still solving people's problems. So
I think that's beautiful, because when you were explaining the ability to listen to a client and hear what they actually want and kind of give them guidance, what they should take or whatever needs to take, right?
Yeah.
It gave me an idea of psychologists. Like, you're a psychologist. True. You sit down like, okay, what is your problem?
You know, that's true.
Yeah, I think in a sense, you kind of, that's why you actually fell in love with it, right? And then the institution where you enrolled for the banking certificate, which one was it? And then how was that journey like?
It's called Milpark Business School. Yes, it's a private institution. They're very good and they're very reliable, and their system is very reliable. I've never experienced any technical issues, especially now with COVID, writing exams at home, online, and stuff like that. They are very up to standard when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So I heard about them from a colleague of mine, and then I enrolled myself. But I was fortunate at that time when I started the qualification, the organization offered to pay. And then they paid for me. I think they paid for 2 years, because I was doing it for three. It was for 18 months, yes. So they paid for, I think, first and second semester. But I kept failing, man.
Oh, shame. Yeah.
I kept failing. And when you fail, of course, they drop you. So you need to pay for yourself now. But one thing I've realized is that when I paid for myself, then I started taking it serious.
Yeah.
Because I passed.
It's your money, yeah.
Yes, it's my money. I can't just let it go down the drain. So yeah, I made sure that I passed all those modules. And then I graduated
yeah.
at the end.
And then... So when you graduate, were just during the COVID time, right?
During the COVID time, so yeah. I had to do my graduation online. I was so so ahead because in my mind, I planned that my family is going to be there with me by my side, you know, celebrating me and all of that. But unfortunately, I had to graduate online.
Yeah.
Wearing a gown.
Oh, shame. So you just went to do photos and, you know, you're done from there.
I didn't even get a chance to do that, unfortunately. Oh, shame. Yeah. I don't even have pictures for that.
But. Yeah. But I mean, that's what COVID did to lots of students at the time.
True, yeah.
Most of them, they couldn't do any of most of the stuff. So now you said you fell in love. So the systems, the banking systems, mm-hmm. is it something which is already set up and you just go there and learn how it works? You can't, not necessarily saying that you have to manipulate it, but you can't do something for a client to make it work for their good in a sense. So it's like, is it like a very rigid?
Very rigid, yes.
System.
You can't manipulate it, unfortunately.
Is it?
Yes.
And the reason why I'm asking that, right, is most of the time we, normal people, I don't want to say normal people, but normal people, when you think of banks, it's like, in terms of systems, you think when you get in there, maybe you could, if there's a, whether it be a loan, mm-hmm. whether it be a discount, or there's no discounts with banks, but to be able to just give you maybe a better advice on how to do something, like mm-hmm. you can't really tweak it that way, right?
No, you can't, because remember the banking system is, I would say, attached to the Bureau and all of that. So your history, either way, it's going to show on the system, and the system knows at the background, even if you don't disclose that to me, but the system knows what is happening in your financial history.
Mm. And then doesn't that make it, because let's say, for example, right, there's things like percentages, like, because sometimes you feel like probably the percentage that you want, it's a bit too much, or it's higher. Let's say it's higher or lower. When that is set, there's nothing that you can do in terms of maybe advising. Can you advise someone to take a different? Let's say, for example, I'll give you a much practical example: a fixed loan and what do you call it? A revolving loan.
Yes.
Right. It seems like the system just always doesn't want you to go for the fixed loan. It will always give you
the revolving,
make you qualify for the revolving one. So is, do you feel like sometimes there's, I don't want to use the word foul play, but is that how the system it works, in the point that you, even though I'm here for this one, but the system doesn't give you the
what
other
you
one
want.
Yes,
like I said, it's connected to the Bureau system, and whatever that you do that we don't know, but the system will find out anyway, because it's history, it's computerized, or whatever the case may be. So it's a case, like you made now an example that you want this, but the system gives you that. They always look at the risk, how risky it is to give you what you want.
Sure.
And are they willing to risk and give you maybe something else to compensate, you know, on what you wanted? Because at the end of the day, they need to help you. So that is why you might not get what you want, but the system says, okay, we can risk it and give this person this at this rate.
And then in terms of banking, let's say if you want a house loan, and let's talk about the house loan.
Yes.
How involved are you in that process? Do they talk to you directly, or do you talk to someone else who focuses on the
No, they house talk to us as bankers directly.
Sure.
And the information that you give us as the client, then we feed it into the system.
Okay.
And there are people behind, the people that are dealing with credit application, and they evaluate the application to see if the person qualifies for this, or we can, like I'm sure you've had people, like if you want to apply for a bond of probably 1.2 million, and then the bank says, no, we're going to give you 80% of that, so you need to bring in a deposit.
Okay.
So those people are there for that,
to
run the checks thoroughly and make sure that whatever the decision that they make, it's based on what you can afford, because at the end of the day, it's based on your affordability as the client. Mm. Expenses compared to the income that you're getting on a monthly basis.
Okay, I think that in that sense, then it makes it a bit difficult to kind of like negotiate. There's no room for negotiating with banks, right?
No, there is, but you just have to be, I would say, honest, because some clients, I'm not gonna lie, they are not honest about their financial status.
Mm.
Client will say this and decide not to disclose that because they're at the back of them and they're thinking that if I disclose this, it's gonna, you know, hinder me from getting what I want and stuff like that. But the system will find out.
Oh yeah, the systems are connected. Yeah, sure.
So if you being honest and we feed that information and say, okay, this is what is happening and this is the state now where the client is at the moment, and this is going forward, this is what the client is gonna do to make sure that probably their finances are in a good standing, then we can motivate.
Okay, and then so with that said, right, I just want to get into the world of banking, right? Yes. How does your day look like on a day-to-day, like generally, mm-hmm. like how does it look when you get to work? What do you do? And like just looking at from the start up until the end.
That's okay, we obviously we get there before clients comes in, and when we're there, then we do the preps, which is probably following up on queries from whatever previous day or whatever queries that we have that we need to follow up on, and the meetings, briefings, debriefing, reports, and all of that. So when the door open, then the show begins.
Mm.
So now it's because we client facing, we frontliners. So they come, we help up until the door closes.
Sure.
And then
sure.
when the door closes, we close the curtains.
Sure.
Then now it's just us, you know, reflecting on the day. And if anyone needs any help, and then you just speak to that person. And then you make sure that everything, whatever that you did on that day, is finalized maybe at least before you go home.
What was the worst experience that you've got with a client, and what actually happened?
Sure. You know, in Cape Town, especially as a black person, you just have to have that thick skin, man. You must not take everything personal, because sometimes it's personal, but you just have to kind of turn a blind eye. I'm not saying that it's good, but however, for your sanity, of course, you don't have to fight every battle that comes your way. The worst experience I've ever had was with a client of color, of course. It was a minor thing, but however, the client decided to make it a big issue. Luckily, when the client came back, I was not in my desk that time. I was, I think, on lunch, or I stepped out. And the client made a big scene that, and clients have got this, especially the ones of color, they've got this understanding or this assumption that everyone that is black.
Is it white people?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone that is black is from the Eastern Cape.
So, okay, sure. That's a weird, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, so when the client came back, and then client was like, he doesn't understand why the institution would employ young people like me. I should be at home with my parents, and I should, if I was here, he was gonna give me like a bus fare and, you know, get into the bus and go back to Eastern Cape where I come from.
Wow.
It was hectic,
mm-hmm.
from, because now my colleagues are like explaining to me that thank God you were not here at that time, because that man was gonna crush you. Mm. But I'm stronger than that, and to me, they didn't do anything, because I know that I'm good at my job. I did my job, that whatever that he came back for, it was something beyond my control. Mm. It's not something that I could have picked it up even myself.
Mm. So yeah, it sounds like it's some intense situation being put there, and you know, not that we're trying to instigate violence, or has it ever got physical? were
no,
in, when
no,
you were
unfortunately,
kid?
No.
Okay.
At least. Let's say for now.
Yeah, sure. But I think it's quite interesting because as clients, sometimes they usually say that the customer is always right.
True. But and that has to change.
Yeah, it needs to be balanced. It needs to be balanced. There has to be a balance. If there's something that you can't really change, mm-hmm. you can't change.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just have to be take it like that. I have my own thoughts, but let me just reserve them for now. So you're saying that you get there. What makes you love banking is this is a question I wanted to ask.
Okay.
That so how do you now escalate, like grow within the system?
Mm-hmm.
Like you see, most of the time in each and every company, you kind of like grow, and there's different posts that you can
that you get. Can get
so, what are the different posts that you can get in, and how? What are the growth plans within the banking system?
Like any other organization, your growth depends on you.
Okay.
Yes, because it starts with you, your dreams, what you believe in, and whatever that you set yourself for. But obviously, yes. Sometimes it doesn't happen like how you've planned or imagined. But in my case, I'm not going to lie, I am one of those fortunate ones that I see growth, and I've grown within the organization as well, because from where I started and where I am right now, I would say I'm doing pretty well for myself. And that's something that I don't take for granted, of course. As a black person in Cape Town, so
sure.
So I'm very grateful for that. But like coming back to your question, yes, we can grow, but you just need to, equip yourself with so much knowledge so that even if that opportunity comes, at least whoever that you report to or your line manager, whatever, then they can kind of, you know, recommend and say, you know what, we think Onke is ready. Onke can do this. Onke has shown the capabilities that he can do that. So let's give him a chance. And yeah, then you just take it and roll with the punches. And then it depends how you navigate yourself within that space. And then from there you grow.
Mm.
Yes.
And then in terms of, I think maybe the other thing that I want you to just explain, mm-hmm. right, is the positions, right?
Okay.
So when you get there, you become
a teller,
right?
Which is
so
the entry.
So what comes after a teller in terms of up until the highest?
Okay, back in the days, we used to have tellers, inquiries, service consultants, and then another division up from there. It's a prestige banker, which is a relationship banker. And then the one after that, it's private banking, still a relationship banker. Then after that, business banking as well. And then after that, then it's commercial or wealth, and you join that space. But then now they tried to turn things around. So it's teller, a universal banker, which is universal banker, that means you do everything.
Okay.
And then from there, you probably become a team leader. And then from there, you can be a relationship banker, which is prestige. And then up to private banking, then up to business banking. And then from there, you can be a distribution manager, work with commercial banking, and you know, with the big dogs now that and big money.
nice.
Yeah, that's the levels now,
okay,
currently.
Okay. Is there any studying that is required to do any of those different levels?
I think it comes with now experience, of course, and the exposure that we have, to different things. Even though you'll be working for that department, but at least you should know something about what is happening in the other departments as well.
Yeah.
You should have interest so mm-hmm. that when the time comes or the time
all
is right for
yeah.
you, then you can get to the top.
Nice. I just keep on fantasizing on prestige.
I know, it sounds prestigious.
Yeah. Is that a place where now I get a call and then it's written Standard Bank?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? Not just any normal call where they say they're calling me and say want to sell you life insurance, but where is the bank? Said, hi, Mr. Pandeka, I just wanted to say happy birthday to you.
Yes.
It's something like that.
Yes. That's the level, yes.
Okay. I think I heard something like that from my manager. Mm-hmm. He said he was baffled. He was like, the bank just called me. They said happy birthday. I was like, okay, so I think you have made it in life.
I know, right?
I think it's it sounds interesting, and most of the time I also like it when there's a level of growth that you can see within a company. I find that.
Yeah, I'm fine, yes.
Okay. Is it falling?
It's falling.
Oh, yeah. Let me just help you.
I think I got it. Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, it's here. Sorry.
Perfect, yes.
Oh, so all this time you were holding, I thought maybe you just wanted to hold it. Sorry, man. Sorry about that. So I was saying that I like the fact that you can grow within a company, and there's like different tiers to a system or to a company. At least you know even when you're talking now, it helps someone when they come in. They know, okay, I'm gunning for that prestigious position. And they know they can just push as much as possible. Yes. Yeah, right. So I think I like that a lot. And I don't know if maybe are you able to maybe delve into just a little bit in terms of what do they do, the different things that they do in those tiers, if you can. And
with Universal Bankers, they are based at the branch. And they don't work on appointments. It's just clients walking in on a daily basis and all of that. But when it comes now to prestige, private business, that's where now they work on appointments, where Mr. So-and-so is going to phone and say, I need to meet my banker, I need to discuss A and B and C and D. And then whoever picks up the call will make sure that the banker gets the message. And then the banker will phone the client and say, okay, cool, Mr. So-and-so, this is the right slot time for you. Are you fine with this time? And then if the client says, okay, cool, then they make arrangement and meet and discuss whatever that they want to discuss. It's just, that's, I would say that's the only difference. They still do the same job, but based on appointment basis, instead of Universal Bankers seeing walking clients every day.
And then can I arrange a prestigious, like as a normal bank user? Or do you have to have a certain kind of amount?
If your salary allows you. It's all about money.
What are we talking about in terms of money, if you can disclose that?
Yeah, it's fine. I can disclose that. It's for the public knowledge anyway. Yeah. I think for prestige, it has to be 25 upwards. Mm-hmm. Gross, I think, yes. And then for private banking, it has to be 52 or 53 upwards. Mm. But they also cater now for graduates, where if you've got a degree or honors degree, whatever the case may be, and you are at, there's an age limit, I think it's 30, if it's not 32, then you can qualify for, it's called professional signature banking. Yes, that's for like the kids now with the degree and all of that, and then they can also get that black card and show off.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that a black card was that easy to get. If it's that easy to get, then it stops being impressive. But yeah, man. On with that said, I'm just trying to think. So with that said, right? What would you advise someone who's coming into the banking industry? Mm-hmm. What are the do's and don'ts that you would say, okay, please do this, and this is what you can do to accelerate your growth? Yeah.
You just need to grasp everything that comes your way, like especially if it's going to be information that is going to help you at the end of the day. I would say it's similar to each and every organization, where if you're being asked to do something, even if it's not in your job description, but if you see that this information will probably help me one day, do it. Don't hold back and say, no, you can't ask me now to be a teller, because I'm not a teller, I'm probably a banker, a relationship banker, or whatever the case may be. do it, because maybe one day you'll be a manager of some sort, and then when you're a manager, obviously you need to know all the divisions from the lower grade upwards, so that you can be able to solve whatever that comes your way. And at least you can know, even if you don't know, but you know who to contact. Okay, this person can help me with this. Like in my case, I know nothing when it comes to Forex. But if anything comes, then I go to them like, okay, there's this situation now. How do I respond to the situation? And then they tell me, and then I make sure that I'll probably jot it down so that in future, when the similar situation comes in, at least I have an answer and it's facts.
Yeah.
It's not something that I just think of and like, okay, cool, just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's beautiful, man. Thank you so much. I don't know if there's anything that we can touch on in terms of banking directly. Is there anything, or we kind of like have touched most of the stuff?
I think we've covered most of the things.
Okay. Yeah, I think thank you so much, Onke. I know it's not easy when a stranger just comes to you and says that I want you to come on the podcast, and I don't know if I explained it earlier on, but yeah, that's how it happens. Like, okay, my man, yeah, this is what is happening. Let's make it happen.
And to be honest with you, I was so excited when you pitched the idea, because I think I also shared it with you that a stranger once said to me, and I was on the other side of, I was on the other side of the room, and then I was talking to someone in the other side of the room, and then the stranger's like, who's talking there? And then like, no, it's my colleague. And then I came out, and then he was like, have you ever done radio before? I'm like, no. The stranger said, I think you've got a radio voice.
Nice.
I think if you can get into that space, you'd be good. You'd be a perfect fit in South Africa. So when your idea came up, and I was like, man,
let's do this.
Maybe this is my chance.
Yeah, I mean definitely this is gonna be on Spotify and basically all streaming platforms to be there.
Okay.
So you can just listen to your stuff and like, I think
yes, definitely.
You have something to submit, like I've done this before. But anyways, thank you so much, man, for coming through and honoring the invite. I appreciate it. It's not as easy to just get it in the bandwagon and just do the podcast. But I thank you so much for coming through. And for anyone else who wants to come on the podcast, I think I'm going to be availing November. I'll be having guests, but I'll communicate how we're going to be doing it. Thank you so much. Is there anything that you want to say in closing and just to encourage someone out there?
Just to encourage my
peers.
Or just
to say.
No, just to encourage my peers. This is something that I always say to my friends that, you know, when it comes to me, I am my own Oprah Winfrey because I motivate myself.
Okay.
You know, man, we are that generation, man, that experience a lot of difficulties in life in general. Work, school, everything, you know, there are those moments where you feel like, you know what, things are just not coming to the party now, and you feel like you want to just drop everything and all of that. The thing that I live with, and it works for me, I always say, whatever that happens, whatever that I experience, I just say to myself, you know what, the show must go on. And when the show goes on, come rain or sun, I'll definitely, you know, rise again and, do it.
I think there's a meme that I've seen lately of a guy just standing up and then he just put the dust taking up the dust and just move on.
Exactly.
I like that. So just a matter of just stand up, rise up, take off the dust and just move on. Thank you so much. And that is it.
Thank you so much, man, for having me.
Awesome.